Welcome to today's edition of the Rush Limbaugh Show podcast.
Okay, thank you once again, Johnny Donovan. I am the talk show host formerly known as Congressman Jason Lewis, and it's Open Line Friday on the Rush Limbaugh program. Could not be happier than to be here guiding you through another edition of El Rushbo. But I got to be honest with you. There's so much going on today. Getting to calls is going to be tougher than a Zoom call with Jeffrey Toobin. I mean, that's how tough it's going to be. Did you hear about this? CNN is now reinstating Jeffrey Toobin, the former New Yorker staff writer who was fired from the magazine after he was seen masturbating on a video call. But the network is dead serious about this. They said from now on, there'll be no jerking around. I just want to be fair with CNN. I mean, these are the type of people they hire. And now you know why the anchor shot is always from the waist up. 1-800-282-2882. So nice to be here, as I say, and so much going on. It has been a monumental last few days when it comes to, well, the degradation of our institutions. From modern medicine, which has been totally politicized, to the media, which a long time ago has been a partisan, state-run, basically agitprop for socialist America. Big business. I was at a Twins game the other night and a massive sign in right field honoring, of course, George Floyd. I mean, everything has become political. Every aspect of our life from K through 12, as I say, to now medicine, which has been lying about hydroxychloroquine because Trump supported it. But now we find out another study shows it actually worked. These are the same epidemiologists who said you got to wear a mask and socially distance unless you're protesting or rioting. That's the politicization, the corruption of institutions. The latest, sadly, has become the military. There's a commander in Fort Carson telling his subordinates, his troops, the main problem with our military readiness is whiteness. I kid you not. But if it isn't whiteness, then it's global warming. And I want to say something, and I want to be crystal clear on this, just so I traumatize every left-wing hack who's been trying to terrify you. You ought to go and read Michael Crichton's State of Fear. Before he passed on, this great author wrote a book about what promoting fear in the name of environmentalism can do to a society and how deleterious it really is. If you want to know where the origins of the bad science, whether it's the false reporting on the Wuhan lab leak, the false reporting on how lockdowns work or masks work, or there's no such thing as natural immunity. All of those reports were lies, but they were based in science. Well, if you want to know where the cover for science or the cover for lies started with pseudoscience, false science as a god, it started with climate change. It started with, well, let me rephrase that. It started with global warming. Then, when that didn't pan out, they had to revert to climate change. Physicist Stephen Koonin, who's no conservative, has a new book out called Unsettled. And he just blows this out of the water. Heat waves in the U.S. are now no more common than they were in 1900. The warmest temperatures in the U.S. have not risen in the past 50 years. Humans have no detectable impact on hurricanes over the past century. And by the way, insurance company actuaries will tell you that. They're not raising premiums because of increased hurricanes because there aren't. But yet, the Army, according to Joe Biden at the G7 summit, well, listen to Keith Kellogg. He's a retired three-star general. And yesterday on Martha McCallum's show on Fox, he talked about Biden's remarks to the troops in which the president said the Joint Chiefs told him that the biggest threat was global warming. Tape number one.
I respectfully disagree with anybody who says that. It is not global warming. I mean, when you look at countries with nuclear weapons and have a capacity to strike at us in a terrorist capability, to me, is not global warming.
Amen. Amen. Retired three-star general Keith Kellogg. It's a joke. They politicize the military. They're doing diversity training in the military. The liberals look at the military like they look at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, another social welfare federal bureaucracy. And that's what they're doing to it. And the cost is military readiness. We all know who the number one threat to the military is or to the United States and our defense is. It's not Russia, where Biden's signing off on pipelines for them, Nord Stream 2, while he's killing Keystone, killing Enbridge, that Jane Fonda came up to protest here, as you heard on the program earlier in the week, in Minnesota, where we're from. No, no, no. The number one military threat is pretty clear. And General Mark Milley, the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, said so.
From a military standpoint, a strictly military standpoint, I think China is the number one military threat as we go forward. But I also acknowledge that Russia is a considerable great power competitor. And those two, in the NDS and the current strategic environment, from a military perspective, there are many, many threats. But from a military perspective, I put those two up there.
It's amazing. We've got a president of the United States abroad on foreign soil. Not that he would know it. Talking about global warming being our number one threat. And it's really sad that a Joint Chiefs would have to qualify his statement about China being the number one military threat by saying, from a military standpoint, strictly a military standpoint, what other standpoint is there if you're the DOD? From an employment standpoint? From an environmental standpoint? From a whiteness standpoint? What the hell? This, I'm telling you, if you want to know where science went awry with COVID and why everything they told you was a lie, first you don't need masks, then you need three of them. First, it's nothing to worry about, then it's going to kill 20, 30 million people. First, lockdowns work, then they obviously don't. Oh, the vaccine's great when Biden was distributing it, but it was horrible when Trump did it. If you criticize these people, you're a denier. You're criticizing science. Where did this come from? It came from Al Gore, Professor Hansen, the guy that started this with his congressional testimony all the way back in the late 80s or early 90s. And the notion that if we can hide behind a false science, and by the way, there's no such thing as science being settled. We all know that. Everybody intuitively knows that. You develop a theory, you test an hypothesis, and then you update whether it's settled or not continually. It's never settled. We're coming out of a little ice age. Then we go into a warming period. Then we go back into another cooling period. It's called the weather. Now, I know you're not supposed to say the weather, but indeed, the notion, what they've sold on the American people, and all these, as Victor Davis Hanson said the other night, all these people suffering under prolonged adolescence. If all you have to worry about in life is climate change, then you've got to be a trust fund brat at an institution of higher learning, because you've got no other problems. But the point is, the notion that the climate should be normal, that there's such a thing as a normal climate. There is no such beast, there never has been. A constant change is the only norm. So they've exploited, like they did with COVID, the obvious vicissitudes, I like that word, vicissitudes, changes in climate or in science or in a virus or anything else for political purposes. That's what this is about. And in the meantime, our military is being hollowed out, right? China is running roughshod over us. The border's wide open. Inflation is on a rampage again. People are ripping off unemployment compensation to the tune of $400 billion. Other than that, Mr. Biden, how was your trip? This we are destroying this country. Every single thing that I said as a candidate in 2016, in 2018, in 2020. I was 1 for 3, folks. Every single thing I said in 2020, and the president as well, President Trump, is now coming to pass. How's it working out for you? You don't dare go downtown. You don't go to Buckhead, where there's shootings in the toniest part of Atlanta. Minneapolis downtown, where I was the other night, hollowed out. The Twins game was maybe a fifth full, if that. Nobody dares goes down there. Young people cannot afford a house. Forget about that, because housing prices are skyrocketing with the Federal Reserve's easy money. We're seeing fentanyl. We're seeing crime. We're seeing open borders like we haven't seen. And yet, Kamala Laughingstock Harris cannot get to the border, but she can go any place else. Biden can't seem to get to the border, but he can go to Europe. Every single thing we warned you about, all of the things that have been undone and all of the harm that have been perpetrated on this country that we are on the verge of losing was what the election of 2020 was about. And I'm sad to say that 40% of the country, like Ilhan Omar, who recently said, what the heck was her quote recently? She tweeted on Monday, "We have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban." You know, there's a difference between being critical of government, of which I have been, and hating your country. That's what the 2022 midterms are going to be about. I'm Jason Lewis, in your guide today on the Rush Limbaugh program. Back with more right after this. Greetings, birthing people all across the fruited plain. I am the talk show host, formerly known as Congressman Jason Lewis, your guy today on the Rush Limbaugh program. So glad to be back. Going to be a great open line Friday if we have the time to get to calls. I'm gonna tell you, I've never seen so much good stuff to talk about and so many predictions that have now come true by those of us who were, shall we say, engaged in the good fight over the last couple of years. You know, I was going to take this time to go over a few of the media lies about the Trump administration, but unfortunately, we only have 3 hours. So let me start with just a couple. But I don't know if you saw this, because the media that lied about it is now spiking the story, but the Inspector General of the Department of the Interior this week released this report on Trump's famous Bible in front of the church photo op back in, I think it was June of last year. Remember that? Apparently, Trump had told the U.S. Park Police to gas protesters and clear the way so he could hold a Bible upside down in front of a church and demagogue. If you saw that once, you saw it 1,000 times. The state-run media were just running crazy over that, except it wasn't true. The IG report issued this week said the police had cleared the park to allow a contractor to install more anti-scale fencing in response to the destruction of property to the area. Had nothing to do with Trump's photo op. They lied. The media lie. The danger we face now, friends, we're used to media lies. It's called MSNBC, the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN actually has perfected the art. But we're used to that. What we're not used to is lying in the name of science. So what have we seen here in the last few weeks? Well, let's just see here. Now we're seeing evidence that a COVID vaccine may be linked to heart issues in young men. Even the CDC is admitting as such, and they're going to have an emergency meeting next week to discuss this. Meanwhile, Dr. Fauci, the public health authorities hiding behind science, are demanding that adolescents, even going into the crib, get a vaccine. Now, this is very odd to me because at the G7 summit, Biden said, why, we're going to donate, what is it, 500 million doses of the Pfizer drug to the rest of the world. And I'm just thinking, why now? Did the rest of the world tell Biden, hey, we'll take this vaccine once the human trials are done in the United States? It's like two mice sitting around. Have you had the vaccine? No, I'm going to wait for the human trials to finish. This is an experimental drug. We have seen the virus ebb and flow and now remove to almost nothing due to natural immunity and vaccines for the most vulnerable. There is no reason under God's green earth that people ought to be running around with masks on outside. These are the same type of people that wear a helmet on a stationary bike. There's no reason they should be doing that. And there's no reason we should be forcing young people going to college or going to K-12 to take an experimental drug when they have almost zero risk. Free countries don't do that. And government that's responsible doesn't lie about it. There are healthcare workers down at a Houston hospital that are suing over the vaccine passport and the forced vaccinations. Oh, and a new study, once again, as I mentioned, hydroxychloroquine works? How can that be? Trump said it would work, therefore it can't work. That's what we were told by the press. I mean, you could go right down the list on the corruption of science. And the more Dr. Fauci gets caught misleading the country about the Wuhan lab leak or the toll of the coronavirus, of which none of them predicted accurately, or masks that first weren't necessary, then you wear three of them after you're vaccinated while you're driving alone in your car. It is amazing to me that people still believe this guy, and yet he had a response to his critics. Audio three.
If you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. That issue with masks is people want to fire me or put me in jail for what I've done, namely follow the science. It's preposterous.
No, Anthony. Nobody wants to put you in jail. That's what we do for Trump supporters. There's only so much jail space. And what the Democrat left and the Democrat media big tech complex does is go after Trump supporters to make certain they don't have any thoughts of invoking self-government again and America first again. But here he is hiding behind the science. Marco Rubio actually had a pretty good response.
Here's what's happened with Dr. Fauci, who I didn't dislike and actually defended early on in the pandemic. And that is, you know, he's gotten on the cover of magazines. He's become this national figure. He enjoys, I think, a little bit the celebrity that's come with it and the role that he's played, almost like a super political, super governmental role as the central authority that everybody has to listen to. I think he's gotten, you know, high on his own supply a little bit here in regards to this. And I think it's gone too far in many cases. It's not that he's speaking out publicly. You see the statements that he's now making, he sounds more like a political figure than he does like a healthcare expert. But that's not the reason why I think he should be fired. I think the reason he should be fired is because he's lost a tremendous amount of credibility among the American people. I think he's actually done very significant damage to public health. People, the next time we have a pandemic, are going to remember a time and era where Dr. Fauci knew certain things that we now knew he did, and he either kept them from the American people or lied by omission.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's not a scientist. He's hiding behind science to invoke his politics. In March of 2020, he said the epidemic without a vaccine will, quote, gradually decline and stop on its own without a vaccine. He was circulating articles about gain of function back in February of last year. His predictions, and the Department of Health here in Minnesota and New York and New Jersey and California, were all over the place as to how many people would die, which demographic it would be. They had no clue. This is why they call public health practicing. In fact, a lot of people are rediscovering the limits of medicine these days. When I was running for the Senate last year here in Minnesota, the media were apoplectic because I called for a complete opening of the Minnesota economy as far back as April. We took a reopened Minnesota tour. I marched into crowds without a mask. I was at one press conference I was holding down in the third precinct that after it was burned by rioters who didn't have a mask on. And one member of the media from the Star Tribune said, the first question as he backed off, terrified, you're not wearing a mask, sir. These are the pusillanimous crowd we're letting dictate the country. These are people who are, as Victor Davis Hanson said, stuck in prolonged adolescence. It is shocking that we're being led down the primrose path by these people. They have exploited a public health challenge for political purposes, period. They are not to be trusted, period. And again, the great debate in 2020 was, do lockdowns work? Do mandatory masks work? Should we have vaccine passports? You and I and the president and El Rushbo were on the side saying freedom works. The authorities can make public health recommendations. They do not, in a free country, make mandates. And we were proven unquestionably right now that all of the lies have been exposed. And they are far too many to countenance. I mean, think about all the lies about the coronavirus, all of the flip-flops, All of the governors like Tim Walz of Minnesota and Jan Malcolm with the Minnesota Department of Health and the state government putting people at risk in nursing homes, exposing them to COVID while locking down youngsters who are now setting records for adolescent depression. Nice going, gang. Nice. Yes, and we are back remembering America's real anchorman, El Rushpo, on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. Still the fastest 3 hours in radio and really fast today. I am Jason Lewis, your guide today. Glad to do it. We'd love to squeeze in a call or two. We'll just see if we have time because there's so darn much going on. We don't, this economy, now that we've got the story of $400 billion being ripped off through unemployment compensation. This has been, every businessman or woman can tell you, the unemployment system, especially in states like Minnesota, New York, California, is been abused for decades. This is now being, or abuse on steroids. I can remember one business had a line for people that actually wanted to apply for work and another line for people that just wanted to sign up to say they applied so they could get their unemployment benefits. But now a new report says $400 billion, maybe the largest financial loss in history, was ripped off during the COVID pandemic unemployment benefits. Once again, using a false COVID scare, false science to get what you want politically, and that is everybody on the dole, and that's exactly what the Democrats have done. Free checks, unemployment. And so what happens? You don't have people building pipelines. You have people collecting checks, and the people who are working get to pay for that. Jane Fonda has a couple of hosts previously noted this week was in Minnesota, I think she was in Minnesota, where she was complaining about the Enbridge pipeline. So now you've got the president of the United States, or if he knows it, okaying the Russian pipeline, but nixing Keystone, which officially the Canadian company said we're done with trying to get something built in America. And in Minnesota, where Enbridge Line 3 needs support because shipping oil by pipeline is vastly safer than Warren Buffett's trains or trucks. Every single study will tell you pipeline is the safest way per billion ton of miles shipped to transport oil. So you got a 50-year-old corroded pipeline operating at 50 capacity. They want to put in a new state-of-the-art 36-inch pipe to deliver crude to Minnesota's largest refinery in my old congressional district, Pine Bend. My successor, Angie Craig, opposes fossil fuels, opposes that pipeline, opposes basically the workers at her own Pine Bend refinery. Of course, their union leadership still endorses her because they're told to do so in the swamp. Imagine that, 8,600 project-related jobs, $19 million in additional property tax revenue in Beltrami County, north of the Twin Cities, and Walls, and Omar, and Angie Craig, and Tina Smith, and every single green kook out there opposes Enbridge. Now they got Jane Fonda on their side. Tell you what, Jane, you keep this up, we're taking away the Botox. That's all I'm going to tell you. We've had it. But because we're not working, and because the Fed is still buying $100 billion worth of bonds every month, because we flooded this economy with fiat money, we now have an inflation rate at a 13-year high. I kid you not. Imagine that. Just like we told you, MMT is nothing more than printing easy money. The liberals and the squad say, oh, no problem. We can keep printing money. It's called modern monetary theory. It's as old as John Maynard Keynes, and basically what it says is, because we can't possibly tax $6 trillion out of the economy for paying off student loans, for new infrastructure, which the Republicans should just say no to, please. We're bankrupt. We've got a $3 trillion deficit in 1 year. I remember when the total debt was $3 trillion. Now we've got it in 1 year. Our total debt is pushing $30 trillion. We're bankrupting our children. They can't afford health care, education, or a house, and they want to spend more. Mitt Romney and Rob Portman want to work with Biden to do another infrastructure package? Hell no. Why would you give them what he wants? Besides, we can't afford it. And because we can't tax our way into this much spending, what they do is they print money. What the Fed does is they buy treasury debt. They buy mortgage-backed debt. They buy every bond they can. They used to be the lender of last resort. They're the lender of first resort. Now, if you get into the weeds on this stuff, you know that there's the Federal Open Market Committee. And if they want to expand the money supply, they buy T-bills. They want to contract, they sell them. They've been buying T-bills and lots of other bonds at record low interest rates to flood the economy. You see, if in a normal world, if the government wanted to spend money, it would take money from you and give it to their budget. Now, that's a redistribution of wealth. It's not a good idea, except for the most vital of necessities. But you're not creating new money because the take comes out of your pocket and goes in somebody else's. But when the Fed writes a blank check on the Treasury's checkbook, when they buy Treasury obligations or any other, that creates money out of thin air. That is inflation. It's as old as scripture. Everyone knows. And it doesn't matter whether you're an Austrian school or a monetarist like Milton Friedman. Everybody knows too much money chasing too few goods is inflationary. And even though the economy is growing, you can't keep up with this much money. And what is happening is inflation is at its highest rate in 13 years and core prices, their highest level since 1992, almost 30 years. We're inflating the future out of our kids' future. We're inflating everything under the sun. And if you have an asset, if you're a homeowner, if you've got stocks, you're fine. If you're a young person, you're screwed. So you millennials out there worried about being woke ought to be damn worried about your future instead. Forget the adolescence and grow up and start looking at your economic future. The Democrat, socialist, media, big tech complex is selling you down the river. U.S. budget deficit is at a record for 8 months, $2.1 trillion. And yet, are you sitting down? Federal revenue for the same period rose 29%. Wait, tax revenues are up, but we still have a deficit? Well, yeah, because it's caused by spending. And now Biden wants to spend $6 trillion more. Where are you going to get it? The Fed's going to inflate. The Fed's going to keep buying these bonds. Instead of buying bonds at record low rates, they ought to be selling them at record high rates. If you've got an inflation rate of 5, 6, 7%, and the federal funds rate is 0 or 0.01, the 10-year treasury is 1.5. Mortgage rates are 2.3, 2.4. You have an inflationary scenario that's not going to stop. I'll give you Jason Lewis's monetary rule right here. The federal funds rate should never be below the rate of inflation. So if inflation is 1%, the federal funds rate should be 1.2. That way, the higher inflation goes, you automatically rein in the easy money. It's a simple monetary rule. Now, some people would argue for a gold standard or this and that, but you can't let these people who have become so politicized control this because they are covering for government spending. And yet, what in the hell do these Republicans want to do? They want to give Biden an infrastructure plan that's not even infrastructure? Hell no, we won't go. Grow a pair, will you guys? Of course, that's advice lost on Mitt Romney. That's for certain. Hey, you know what? I used to love it when Rush used to tell us about all his great sponsors. And I've got one I want to tell you about. The secret's out. It's not good news for the big three cell phone carriers. People are abandoning their overpriced wireless carriers and signing up with Pure Talk for the same coverage, but at a fraction of the price. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, switching to Pure Talk could save your family over $800 a year. And switching is as easy as switching out your SIM card. You can keep your number, keep your phone. You can get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. There's a reason why Rush trusted Pure Talk, and there's a reason tens of thousands of listeners right here on EIB have made the switch. Pure Talk delivers unparalleled customer service. And with every one of their reps based right here in the U.S., well, you can get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you go over the data, they don't even charge you for it. From your cell phone, dial #250. Say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250. Say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Greetings, music lovers, thrill seekers, conversationalists, and birthing people all across the fruited plain. We are on the Rush Limbaugh program. I'm your guide, Jason Lewis. So nice to be here. So many things to get to. You know, I went to the Twins game the other night and had a chance to chit-chat with the great Rod Carew. And what a treat that was. He was a childhood idol of mine. But we were talking about how somnolent baseball's become with all these home run hitters striking out. It's just a fascinating conversation. I didn't have the heart to tell him how disappointed I am in Major League Baseball and their wokeness. But it was just a great conversation. If we have time, we'll get into that a little bit more, especially my RX for baseball. It used to be, you know, when Sandy Koufax won, I think it was 1965, where he won like 27 games. He completed 23 or 24 of them. Nobody completes games anymore. A designated hitter in the American League has a lot to do with that. But pitchers would tire out. Then you'd start to see some action in the late innings just when it was needed. Lots of things in baseball that are big problems for them on the field, but more so off the field with their wokeness these days. I do want to get to this notion about cities being very, very scary places to go to anymore, because that's exactly what's happening here. When I was downtown going to the Twins game, I will tell you that no one was there. There was no traffic going there. There was plywood. If you want to know why there's a lumber shortage, you can check downtown Minneapolis. The plywood's there. No one wants to go to these baseball games in downtown environments because they're afraid. Now you have this Tony neighborhood, this very, very Tony neighborhood of Buckhead. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have many times. Not that I'm that Tony. I'm just passing through. But I'm glad I'm not passing through these days, because one particular woman's husband was shot while jogging in the Atlanta suburbs. And people, she says, are moving because of this. Ann Worrell, wife of the husband, said this the other day.
Action needs to be taken. If it's not working, let's fix it. Let's get together focus groups or restructure the system. But what's happening now is not working, and people are moving because they are not safe.
Indeed, it's happening everywhere. The Twin Cities are being hollowed out. Atlanta's being hollowed out. New York City has been hollowed out. People are leaving California. They're losing a congressional seat. Quite frankly, were it not for the shenanigans over the census numbers, Minnesota would have lost a congressional seat. The fact is, the Defund the Police movement, which has been the most deliberate attack on the American people of all backgrounds in my lifetime. I want to be clear about this. The Minneapolis City Council, which started this nonsense, Governor Tim Walz, who refused to protect the third precinct, Democrats everywhere, from the squad to mainstream Democrats, Tina Smith especially, my opponent in the Senate race, was on board bashing police, called for more righteous protest, said it was a privilege to call the police. That's your U.S. Senator from Minnesota. She's a damned embarrassment. And yet, they get a pass for attacking you. The Defund the Police movement, the Abolish the Police Department movement, which has taken effect, is killing people. And they knew it, and they did it anyway. They've got blood on their hands. And it's happening all over this nation, and are destroying lives like Ms. Worrell's life. So what's the response? What can we do about it? Exactly what they're doing in Buckhead. You know what they're doing? They're going to secede. I love it. A few years ago, California wanted to secede. Let them go. Buckhead wants to secede from Atlanta. Now, Buckhead's right in the middle of Atlanta. But the city of Atlanta is derelict. They're not doing their first duty of government, protecting their citizenry. And so Buckhead folks say, we'll secede, get our own police force. This is the avenue out from under the Stockholm Syndrome. The America right now, thanks to the 40% woke millennials and adults who are in prolonged adolescence, and those are people in the media and Democrats, nonprofits, liberal leaders everywhere, they basically have put America into a constant state of not only prolonged adolescence, but Stockholm Syndrome, where you start to hate yourself because of your skin color, you're white. And therefore, policing is a manifestation of that hatred. We can't have it. And people are believing it. These people are virulent racists. And people are letting them govern. Now, you get the government you vote for. And so if the city of Minneapolis wants to destroy itself, and St. Paul isn't far behind, that's fine. I just don't want it spread to the rest of the country. Suburbs, rural America, you name it. So you better start taking action. You better demand of your local officials to cut this crap out and start not worrying about public safety effectiveness. Start worrying about crime and safety. And one way to do that is to leave the metro regional area. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, we've got this heavy-handed bureaucracy known as the Met Council. They're imposing this bull, and they've been doing it for decades. I authored a bill in Congress to make them be more accountable. Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar killed it in the Senate with the help of a few wayward Republicans. Thanks, Mitch. But the Met Council and regional governments are doing for the suburbs what the city councils of Minneapolis has done for their town. Meanwhile, you're seeing random attacks. You're seeing crime at levels we haven't seen since the 60s and 70s. The government cannot even perform its first function. And yet people, because we're stuck in the Stockholm syndrome, are giving them a pass. No. My friends, time is up. I'm Jason Lewis on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. I don't have to tell everyone within earshot that this G7 summit is going to be a climate change orgy on the part of European leaders as well as President Biden. Now, you know, one good thing we have on our side is the president really doesn't know where he's at. So why are they talking about climate change? Where am I? But, you know, we know one thing. It's not at the border because he never goes there. Point being, however, is Rush always was top-notch, Danny, on this topic of climate change. And I definitely want to get to a clip we've got queued up. If you want to understand, as I said earlier, as to why the pseudoscience behind the coronavirus was allowed to happen, why you were called a denier if you didn't wear a mask while you were alone at your house, it started with this global warming hype. Understand, people will not give up their freedoms willingly. They have to be scared into giving them up. So war, there's an old line by a World War I protester that war is the health of the state. Everything is couched in war. And now we've got a war on climate change. We've got to get it done. So look forward to that coming right up. Well, I sure was a former member of the U.S. House of Representatives, but I escaped. Hour two underway on the Rush Limbaugh program. I am your guide, Jason Lewis. So glad to be here once again. And the irony here is just too good, not to mention. That is, a federal judge, when was it, a week ago, struck down California's three-decade-old ban on so-called assault weapons, saying there's no such thing as assault weapons. AR-15 does not stand for assault rifle. It's Armalite. And you people basically in the gun control community don't know what the hell you're talking about. So get this. Shortly after he issued his ruling, basically confirming with Supreme Court precedent and Heller and McDonald and Justices Thomas' admonition that the Second Amendment is not a constitutional orphan, as soon as the judge struck down gun control laws in California, he was getting threatening texts and threatening emails and threats on his life. Now, what's ironic about this? People are mad because he's not gun control, so they threaten him. Boy, if that isn't typical of the liberal left, but that is good news, because I will tell you, when you get to these places like downtown St. Paul, Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, L.A., New York, Buckhead, Atlanta, Miami, and the only defense you've got is your God-given right to self-defense. And they want to take that away. The same people. Making your community, and I'm going to go out here and say it because you know it's true, deliberately making your community less safe. The same media outlets cheerleading this are the same ones who want to take away your God-given right to self-defense. The Second Amendment does not have an exception to it. If you believe that there is a Bill of Rights incorporated unto the states via the 14th Amendment, as most liberals do, it doesn't make distinctions. There's no such thing as selective incorporation. That was a total concoction of activist judges. You either incorporate the Bill of Rights to apply to states or you don't. They have. And the Second Amendment is not an orphan. It applies. You can't take away my right to defend myself, my family, and my property. Even if you are defunding the police, I need it all the more so. These people want you to be less safe. They want chaos. This is how revolutions start. They want that. They've substituted race and ethnicity for class. They are Marxists. And they've taken control of all of the institutions. The medical authorities, your doctor's office, you name it. Everywhere you go is now politically correct to the point of being oppressive. Lecturing you on masks and vaccines while you can't get in to get a different cancer screening. Big business. What did the BlackRock and Engine Number One do to ExxonMobil? You're not woke enough. You're not green enough. Well, let me see here. The five-year average return on capital, ExxonMobil led the way at almost 8%. Chevron, ConocoPhillips, EOG, Occidental Petroleum, they're all down below that. And yet, well, you could get more money if you went green. Hogwash. The private equity crowd has gone green, too. They don't care about your return on investment or return on capital. They care about going green. They've been co-opted. Sports have been co-opted. Business, medicine, media, education, everywhere you go, the institutional corruption and the lies are omnipresent. And so many of them started with climate change and the lie that it is. Well, I shouldn't say that, to be fair. The climate always changes. The lie that it is a catastrophic emergency is something that physicist Steve Koonin, who was an Obama administration official, as I recall, totally basically disabuses in his book called Unsettled. Everybody ought to read it. This is how the word denier is being used everywhere to silence people. It started with this, and no one was more on top of it than El Rushbo. He had this to say a few years back.
This has been a signature issue on this program for 25 years. Well, actually, it's been a signature issue for over 30, because it was a signature issue when I was in Sacramento. Back then, it was the, you know, climate change had a predecessor. It was the spotted owl and animal rights, and it was all tied to climate change. But it was in the mid-80s that I first actually heard of this. 5 years earlier, it was The World's Gonna Freeze, that 79 Newsweek cover. And it has, she's exactly right. The forecasts have said 10 years, 20 years. None of the forecasts have come true. Global warming, it stopped warming, so they had to change it to climate change. Since they can't really illustrate massive changes in climate, they modified things and started referring to anything, any weather extreme as evidence of climate change, be it a flood, which had been happening since Genesis. Talked to Noah about that. Torrential rains. These things are now cited as examples of climate change. You ask yourself, how in the world can we battle this? I mean, if these people are willing to go to this degree to distort things, if weather extremes that are part of nature from the beginning of time are now evidence of a political belief the left has, how do we push back on this? And this has been a primary focus of mine, and I keep trying to invent new ways to avoid the boredom, to avoid predictability, and to avoid the sameness. Because to me, this issue contains everything. It embodies virtually everything the left needs to establish the end of democracy and authoritarianism. It's got every ingredient. It's got every technique that they employ. One issue, if they can bring it home, accomplishes ball game. And that's why I am so fervently opposed to it, because it can't be proven. It cannot be established. There is no science that says what's happening is happening. All they've got is computer models. I have nothing to gain by lying to anybody about this. If I lie about this and create some converts, I'm going to lose them at some point because it's going to be discovered that I've been lying. I have nothing to gain by making anything up here. Nothing whatsoever. There's no short-term gain that I am seeking here. There's nothing I'm trying to accomplish with this other than to stop it for the benefit of people, because I love people. I hate what liberalism does to people, individuals. And this issue contains every assault the left is making on individual liberty and freedom and an expanding economy. It's got everything they want that leads to their nirvana, which is a never-ending expansion of government that one day becomes global, the end of borders, the end of nation states. These are sick, sick people. And with money, they have co-opted many people who used to be legitimate scientists. They have invented scientists out of people that wouldn't know science if it slapped them upside the head, like Al Gore. And they've conferred scientific status. Their experts tell us that climate change is so rampant that we've only got, what, 30 years left? If we don't colonize Mars, the human race is going to go extinct. And I can't believe that people actually believe it, because somebody like Stephen Hawking says it, though, smartest man in the world, or joined by Elon Musk or Bill Gates or whatever. It's insanity, and it just never stops. You know, there's also some arrogance in this. How long has the Earth been around? Some of you think 10,000 years, some think millions, whatever the number, doesn't matter. Who is to say that the climate as it exists during our lifetimes is the norm? How does anybody know that? There has to be a norm in order for there to be warming or cooling. Isn't it magic that the norm just happens to be when we are alive? Why wasn't the norm in the pre-industrial age? Why wasn't the norm during one of the glacial ages? Why wasn't the norm during one of the heat periods? Why is it now? Because it's convenient, and it makes all of their bogus science seem to work. What did I just say? They began to incorporate weather extremes as evidence of climate change. Listen to this. Among the more significant of the study's findings is that it is now possible to attribute some extreme weather to climate change. The field known as attribution science has advanced rapidly in response to increasing risks from climate change. Attribution science. They just made it up. They want to be able to attribute extremes to climate change, like no hurricanes in 11 years, like fewer tornadoes. Like what? Attribution science. But the big thing in this report is that climate change is now. It's happening now. Not 20 years from now, not 30. It's happening now. This is such bogus, lying BS. It really infuriates me.
That was El Rushbo at his absolute best, and he couldn't be more correct. I want you to understand something. Back when there was real journalism, I should say, and it's been a while. It gets caught in my throat. It's been so long. There was a guy named H.L. Mencken. He was a famous scribe out of Baltimore. And Mencken was distrustful of all politicians, of government. That's the way journalism should be. You shouldn't take the side of the Republicans or the Democrats or any issue or this. You should be skeptical. Obviously, state-run media led by CNN and MSNBC and The Post and New York Times and all the rest, they basically, they're on their knees. They're on their knees for government. And they just are hacks. They're just horrible hacks. They're not, look, I hate to say this about people, but it's true. They're not good people. They're despicable in a number of ways. Mencken, however, said this, quote, "The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary," close quote. You keep the population in fear, whether it's climate change or coronavirus, and then you control them. Back with more on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. Okay, we will squeeze in a call or two here, 1-800-282-2882 on the Rush Limbaugh program. I'm Jason Lewis, your guide today. I've been talking about this institutional liberalism or institutional corruption that's affecting medicine, media, you name it, Major League Baseball, sports in general. It's happening all over. It's not just the higher education anymore. It's big business. It is everywhere you turn in the nonprofit community. We are surrounded. And now it's the military. The military is more concerned about whiteness and climate change believe it or not, than they are about China. I should say the leadership is. And if you don't agree with that, why, then you're, you know, an extremist that needs to be rooted out. And the new DOD chief is going to do exactly that. They're finally reaching their goal of turning the military into just another social program. And that has been the goal of the liberal left and the Democrat media, big tech, basically turning them into enforcers of wokeness, of anti-whiteness, of racism by skin color. And I want to be clear about this. They are not only engaged in racism by assigning, you've seen the professors, the psychologists who are clearly in need of their own counsel. You've seen them all talk about whiteness being a pathological disease, white privilege, and all the rest. Right? This is not just gaslighting and not just racist, no, assigning blame by skin color, but it's also all illegal. It's totally illegal. If the mayor of Chicago says, I'm only going to take interviews with people of color, she has violated the 14th Amendment equal protection under the law. She is the government. You can't discriminate by race. Even Justice Roberts got that when he said in the Seattle School District case, the best way to stop discrimination by race is to stop discriminating by race. And now they are looking to get whitey. And if you are white, you have original sin. So attacks on white people, like Jewish people, we've seen with those attacks from the squad, are going up. People are being fired. There was a St. Cloud, Minnesota law firm that decided to fire their partners because they were pro-Trump. You start to see where this is going. You had a bunch of out-of-control, quote unquote, Trump supporters on January 6th who are seeing the book thrown at them when you've got violence in the streets everywhere and a lack of prosecution. But I digress. The military now is the latest institutionally corrupt or victim of institutional corruption because now they're more concerned about climate change and wokeness. There was a Fort Carson, Colorado commander that told his troops the problem with the military today is it's too white. Substitute any ethnicity you want, any gender, any birthing person you want. Had they said that about that, they would be gone. There are two standards of law. And it's just like sort of the way the vaccine's treated under Biden versus Trump. If Trump were still the president, somebody said the other night, and they were trying to promote this vaccine, the anti-vaxxers would be held as heroes. This is the dystopian world we're in. And the only way to push back is not be afraid to offend people. Tell them to go to hell if they're offended. I don't care if you're offended. It doesn't bother me you're offended. Too damn bad. Now, right now, people are afraid to do that because they're being targeted. But that's the only way you're ever going to defeat wokeism. Columbus, Ohio, JR, thanks for your patience. You're on the Rush Limbaugh program.
Great job, Jason. So I have three military close family members, full bird colonels. And, you know, they're getting, well, two of them are past the point of they can get their pension. But they're done. They're just done. Everything is being turned upside down. It's a social experiment now. And what scares one of my family members the most is if people don't think that our enemies aren't watching, you're kidding yourself. And now weakness will start to get probed like crazy, I think it already has.
China is laughing about all of this. China already said this week that controlling carbon emissions is going to take a backseat to growth. And we're running around the world saying, oh, no, global warming is the number one military threat. They are laughing in Beijing. Xi is laughing. We're a joke.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We are stuck in prolonged adolescence, as Victor Davis Hanson said the other night. That is where American adults are who vote for this crap. They run the cities. They run the school boards. They run the mayorals. We are destroying our country in front of our very own eyes. You know, Tom Cotton, or was it Dan Crenshaw? One of them said they had a Marine right, that their unit's mandatory military history training was being replaced with training on police brutality, white privilege, and systemic racism. That's your military at work. It's your tax dollars at work. We're at an inflection point here. This is the modern day equivalent of the Salem witch hunts. I'm dead serious about that. Turlock, California. Let's squeeze in Frank here before the bottom of the hour.
Hello. I was wondering, rather than we always say, like, you invest, you want to diversify. Why don't we allow one state to vote, you know, to make sure that they, all the citizens wanted it, and let them vote and install the Green New Deal, install socialism, get rid of airplanes, and make all the changes that AOC or a couple of the groups say that we really need to do to make it a better world and a better place to live for everybody. And then the rest of the country can watch them in all of their success or challenges.
Well, we've got that state. It's California, and they just lost a congressional seat because so many people are leaving. They have rolling blackouts, massive levels of crime, housing prices that only the rich can afford, homeless and drug abuse everywhere. It is a virtual, albeit the nice Mediterranean climate, a hellhole. San Francisco and L.A. are going to hell. And that's what you will get, and that's what the squad and the Democrats and the media and big tech want for the rest of the country. The question for us is, are we going to let them do it to us? I mean, you should know that more than anyone, Frank. You're out there. Now, granted, yeah, they're doing it in Minneapolis, too, but it's so far it's been confined to the major urban areas. But the Met Council is trying to expand it with a bunch of weak-kneed mayors out in places like, well, where I live, in the suburbs, who are going along with this crap. But this is our test of our generation, whether we're going to watch the nation fall from within. And the catch-22, the Salem witch hunt aspect is, if you're in the military and you oppose this indoctrination, why, then you're the problem that has to be rooted out. That is like, you know, taking a quote-unquote witch, and if they drowned, they're innocent. If they don't, they got to be burned at the stake. And we are back on the Rush Limbaugh program. My pleasure to be your guide today, guiding you through the best of El Rushbo. And we've got more of that coming up, especially with regard to this obsession with race that the left has now discovered. You've got these so-called psychologists who are clearly mentally ill. I mean, these people are nuts. And then you've got healthcare journals. The medical profession has been co-opted. It's talking about race. It started, by the way, as I say, when those, was it 12 or 13 epidemiologists said, you have to wear a mask and lock down, but rioters don't because their cause is so righteous. That is not medicine. That is politics. You know, I said it before, I'll say it again. This false god of science, false god of medicine, not to say we shouldn't rely on reason and science, but when you substitute a worshiping of unsettled science for what is right, then you get into the mad scientist, then you get into this God syndrome, and that's where we are on the left. And that's why it's so dangerous. And so when they get these echo chambers that keep the lie going, it can become very, very hazardous to your health if you happen to be in these days, believe it or not, in the majority white population. Well, actually, it's not the majority population in places like California. And that's neither here nor there. I really don't care about that. What I care about is people who discriminate on race, like the SBA. They're now distributing COVID relief benefits by race. Now, granted, a lower court judge just turned this back, but there was something called the Restaurant Revitalization Fund that distributed $29 billion in COVID relief money based on race. Well, we've seen this before. Quotas in higher education based on race. I mentioned earlier, the St. Cloud couple, or not couple, but it was a St. Cloud law firm that basically fired their employees because they were supporters on social media of Trump. This is what tyranny looks like. This is what the mob looks like. And Rush talked about this and this assault on whiteness a few years ago. Audio number 8.
Professor calls on art teachers to reject the geometry of whiteness. Now, I will maintain to you that after you hear this, these are the kind of students that Facebook has hired and that Twitter has hired. And this is the kind of stuff they've been taught. Now, you and I, you're going to hear this and you're going to laugh, or you're going to have some kind of reaction that will be focused on, you don't believe it, it's incredible, if not stupid. But you have to understand that there are students all over the country being taught this literal crap, and they're buying into it. You know, white privilege is an ongoing big deal among white college students. It's the latest way in which white college students are being guilted into supporting all kinds of things for minorities, from immigration to any other number of social justice causes. In a chapter for a new handbook of race and arts in education, a University of North Texas art education professor argues that kindergarten through high school teachers should work to combat geometries of whiteness. This is a art teacher handbook of race and arts. Tyson Lewis is the professor. He teaches classes on critical pedagogy and aesthetic theory. He says that whiteness is a kind of one-dimensional way of being in the world. He suggests that educators incorporate critical whiteness studies to advance the social justice agenda of art education. He is a professor at the University of North Texas, urging his fellow educators to use social justice-themed art classes to fight geometries of whiteness. Now, I want to read to you one of the things that this guy, again, his name is Tyson Lewis, this is what he believes. Because whiteness and maleness are geometric styles, aesthetic questions are intrinsically political, and political questions are inherently aesthetic. Now, anybody know what that means just by virtue of me reading it? Does anybody have any idea what that means? Because whiteness and maleness are geometric styles, aesthetic questions are intrinsically political, and political questions are inherently aesthetic. Now, how do people like this get PhDs? How does this guy become a PhD? See, that's the scam. All of this is a scam. Scam universities, scam education, scam professors. Give scam social justice degrees to scam human beings who scammed their way through grad school. And this is what we end up teaching our kids in these vaunted institutions of higher learning. And this one, I mean, this is a very expensive scam on mostly white American parents and their young kids who then move to American cities and make laws that put people in jail for straws. This is how this happens. But this is dead serious. Teaching that whiteness is myopically destructive form of living that fundamentally denies the multiple dimensions of experience beyond or in contradictions with whiteness. And what that means, white males are a pox on civilization, and we need to de-emphasize them, including in art class. And we need to start from the premise that whiteness has geometric lines that can be studied and drawn and then obliterated. PhD. I got a picture of the guy here. Looks like Barney Fife. Whiteness is a myopically destructive form of living.
Looks like Barney Fife. Well, you know, Ange, I'm telling you, Rush was spot on there as always. And what he's describing is what's happened to these young millennial white kids who are desperately trying to conform to be liked at their ad agency, liked at their corporation. They are engaged in this massive social experiment akin to the Stockholm Syndrome or the Stockholm Syndrome. Remember, the Stockholm Syndrome basically says if you are captured and you're being held hostage, some people, many people, they think, eventually come to praise and like their captors, because once in a while their captors will give them food or be nice to them in between beatings. And then, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And to end up loving the people that hate you, that are oppressing you, That is exactly what's happened to a ton of young people today. I talk with them all the time. You want to know why every commercial you see is now a political statement? Have you noticed that? Especially for the big drug companies, big pharma companies, big vaccine companies. It's a damn political statement. It's being done by these ad agencies that are woke. Corporations that are woke. It's everywhere. And they're being trained in schools of higher learning. If there ever was a greater oxymoron, I don't know where you'd find it. There are things we can do. A, if the government is sponsoring this racism, sue them. And please, let's defund higher ed. We shouldn't be defunding the police. The Biden administration wants to forgive about $377 billion in student loans so its kids can get indoctrinated to hate their fellow American. Why would we do that? Don't worry. A bipartisan group of senators led by Rob Portman and Mitt Romney will get together on that. Thanks, Mitch. I'm telling you, it is reaching critical mass. Hey, you can't supercharge a nation's economy with billions of dollars. We're seeing that. We're seeing the inflation greater than 13 years now. The report came out. $400 billion paid in bogus unemployment claims. It all becomes inevitable with this massive government spending. So how do you protect your savings account, your IRA, from inflation? Well, you invest in gold and silver and precious metals. That's how. Buy real gold and silver, the kind you can hold in your hands and put in your IRA. Both are possible. You'll learn how to do this from the Oxford Gold Group. Welcomed here on the EIB Network. Oxford Gold Group has passed all the tests on customer service, attention to detail, dealing honestly with you by doing all of those things correctly. Just call them at 833-404-GOLD and see for yourself. They'll answer all your questions and send you out their free investment guide. Protecting your retirement accounts with real gold or holding gold in your hand is easier than you think. The Oxford Gold Group will do all the work. Call the Oxford Gold Group today at 833-404-GOLD. Protect what you've earned with real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group. Call them today at 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-GOLD. 1-800-282-2882. The contact line for the Rush Limbaugh program is I, Jason Lewis, the talk show host formerly known as Congressman Lewis, guide you through another edition of the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. Want to squeeze in Michael. He's in Branson, Missouri, and you are on EIB.
Yes, sir. I just had some comments related to slavery. They're not meant to defend slavery. They're simply meant to put history in its historical perspective, which is certainly important anytime we talk about history, is to consider the perspective of the time. Sure. America was not the first country to have slavery, nor did it have the largest number of slaves. That, in fact, it was the Arab slave trade that was the oldest and the largest, but you never hear anything about that slave trade. When slavery existed in America, it existed worldwide. It wasn't just in America. And West African countries were more involved in slavery than any of the other countries. They had internal slavery before the European slave traders even came there.
Well, why didn't we just abolish it then in 1787 when the Constitution went into effect?
I'm sorry, what was that? I missed that.
Why didn't we not just abolish it? Why didn't the founding fathers just abolish it in 1787 when the Constitution went into effect?
Great. That's my point. Historical perspective. Why did they have it in England? Why did they have it in Portugal? Why did they have it in France?
But ours was supposed to be different, right?
Right. But we the seeds were planted in the Constitution.
There you go.
So we could develop a more perfect union, didn't we? That's what we did, and we did. You know,
everything. You're making a really good point here. The framers, by declaring that humans have inalienable rights we get from God and not kings and queens or by virtue of a caste system, put in motion all the liberties we have today, the civil rights, the abolition of slavery, women's suffragette, that was put in motion by the founding fathers, even though it didn't happen instantly. Without them, that wouldn't have happened, and it would have the slavery you talk about would have existed. Instead, what are we focused on? And Michael, thank you. Instead, what are we focused on today? How people talk, because they talk the wrong way. Why, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Tucker Carlson on the Carlson Show the other night basically found an internal memo from the Federal Reserve that is imposing a speech code. Listen to this.
This show has obtained a document from the Federal Reserve, the internal website at the Fed that its employees read. It's a memo on bias-free language, but of course it's very biased. It instructs staffers not to use words and phrases that may be considered offensive. What's offensive? Founding fathers, man-made, and singular pronouns like he or her. Now, the Fed is controlling monetary policy. It's also totally destroying the economy, in case you haven't noticed. But right or wrong, it's supposed to be apolitical. Why are they trying to control our language? Because they want to control our minds. But the Fed?
Well, you know, I think it's characteristic of all bureaucracies that when they can't solve an existential problem, they always go to the triviality as if they've done something.
Right.
Because look at the Federal Reserve, you know, and what are they doing? They're looking at pronouns.
The Fed is destroying the purchasing power of the dollar while they are lecturing you to say birthing people and pick the pronoun of your choice. Have we lost our minds? This is nuts, folks. And it's liberal self-loathing, as Rush described not long ago.
On The Last Word, Lawrence O'Donnelly had Tom Brokaw on. Brokaw's got a book called A Time of Our Lives, A Conversation About America. And O'Donnell said, you know, one of the first to drag race into this coverage loudly was Rush Limbaugh yesterday on his show. And I found Rush Limbaugh in your book in a surprising entry where you write that Rush Limbaugh took to the airwaves to declare me a self-hating liberal. Now, with much of what Rush says, he can never figure out what he means. Did you have any idea what Rush meant?
No, I think he maybe has used that on a couple of occasions. I said I wouldn't have got my first job in Omaha or my second job in Atlanta, or I wouldn't have been hired by the network if my skin pigmentation had been one shade darker. And when I said that, Rush described me on the air as a self-hating liberal. And I say in the book, I go on to say that Rush, of all people, should know that people like us who make a very good living talking about ourselves cannot be self-hating. We think we're grand, in fact, and I count him chief among those. He at least is an original. Many wannabe Rushes out there that are looking for any opening and any opportunity.
Okay, so that's Brokaw, and he's talking about the book, right? I remember that. I call him a self-hating liberal. We've got the bite coming up here in just a second. Let's go back. It was November 5th, 2008.
If my skin had been one pigment darker, none of that would have happened. He would not have gotten a second chance if his skin was one pigment darker. I mean, this is self-loathing. Self-loathing is just, you're right, it's breathtaking to behold. If Tom Brokaw had been one pigment darker, he'd have just been Ed Bradley. He could have been president, for crying out loud. If he just went one pigment darker, been Ed Bradley, could have been Tom Bradley, could have been Doug Wilder, could have been any number of people. One pigment darker, he's making it out here. If he had been one pigment darker, he would have been total miserable, a failure.
And it was this, I had the same reaction to that as when I heard Phil Donahue say, Phil Donahue was just, felt all guilty because of where he was born. He kept talking about the accident of his birth. And on his show, Phil Donahue said if he'd have been born just 100 miles further south and had been in Mexico or whatever, and who knows what had happened to him. And I don't understand the thinking of constantly going through life with all this guilt, particularly over something you have no control over. But I think that is the source of the guilt, interestingly enough. But I was floored. Brokaw actually was saying one pigment darker and he would not have had his career. The history does not bear that out. You like that line? Could have been Ed Bradley. It's funny he didn't tell Lawrence O'Donnell about that line. It could have been Ed Bradley. Could have been Tom Bradley. Could have been Doug Wilder. Any number of people.
Tom Bradley, Doug Wilder, Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James. Need we go on? And they're still talking about this. No, they're cowards, and they want to be liked, and they know the way to be liked is to hate themselves and whiteness, and the repercussions of that is dividing the country, of which we might not recover. I'm Jason Lewis, in for Rush, back with more. Okay, hour three on the way, or coming up, I should say, where Rush explains America first. We'll do our road trip with Rush coming up next hour. And the media circles the wagons. I don't know if I would use that to describe the return of Jeffrey Toobin Hey, can we all sit in a circle? No, I just don't think I would do that, but we'll cover it all, and it's coming up next hour, including these continuing examples of crazy wokeness, which is really, really harmful to the country, and they don't care. Hey, hey, hour three underway, and this just in, Moderna has asked the FDA to let adolescents receive its shot. That can mean only one thing. AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar are now eligible. Hi, everybody. I am Jason Lewis in for your guide today on the El Rushbo program. Once again, Rush lives on, and we've got more of Rush on America First coming up shortly. But, you know, I got to get one thing off my chest here, this monologue, and that is these vaccine passports. Now, I got to be honest with you. There is a situation here. We're starting to see from studies abroad and studies at home, the CDC is going to have an emergency meeting next week on this heart inflammation issue with young males. We've seen the blood clotting. We've seen all of the rest. Now, in a perfect world, there are side effects to every vaccine. And I would certainly support achieving immunity through natural immunity, getting the virus, or if you are in a vulnerable population, the elderly, pre-existing conditions and things like that, getting a vaccine. We have now reached herd immunity. Well, I just want to be clear on that. 100% guarantee it. We've reached it. Nobody predicted that there would be virtually no cases now coming up. We shouldn't worry about this. But especially young people shouldn't worry about it. Their chances of coronavirus causing serious deleterious side effects are almost zero. And they have been since day one. What have we done to our kids? We have a mental health crisis in adolescents today. But now what are colleges and universities planning to do? If you don't get a vaccine, whether you've had the virus or not, which can cause real complications we're starting to see, if you don't get that before returning to campus, you're not coming to campus. Now, these are state-run institutions by and large. More importantly, even if they're not and they're private, they're getting federal PLUS loans. They're getting FAFSA loans. They're getting federal money one way or another. This is the government telling you what to put in your body when you don't need it or may not need it. The Supreme Court needs to take up these cases pronto. There needs to be a writ of certiorari or something to get these cases in front of the court. The government, in the guise of a university, should not be telling young people they have to put an experimental drug in their body when it may not do them any good and may cause them harm. That is not the hallmark of a free nation. It is led by these pseudo, well, I hate to be too harsh on this, but it's led by the public health community that has been wrong, that has been politicized, and is drunk with power. This needs to stop and stop now. If I were a college student, if I were a parent of a college student going into this, a lawsuit needs to be filed and the court needs to pick it up now. This is tyranny. This is tyranny. And it is not what America means. It is not America First, as El Rushbo is going to describe here momentarily. President Biden is in Europe, though he may not know it. Nevertheless, he's telling his colleagues at the G7 summit that America's foreign policy will be the opposite of Trump's America First policy. Now, what that means is we will hamstring our economy with regulations, with going green, even though it doesn't work, vis-a-vis the rolling blackouts in California and elsewhere. We will do that while China said this week it's not going to abide. India will never abide. What America does will have no impact on greenhouse gas emissions. But Biden wants to do it because he wants to punish us. America is not a cause for good. We need to apologize for our existence, just like white people. That's Biden's mantra. And yet, America First is the opposite of that, isn't it? America First says, actually, in the span of history, America is pretty damn good. Considering, as the previous caller pointed out correctly, that slavery was the rule rather than the exception throughout the globe, and still is in many areas, we, for the first time, said we have inalienable rights from a higher being, the Lord, God. Government doesn't grant us rights. We grant the government powers, limited powers. It's called enumerated powers doctrine, and the powers are in the Constitution, and if they're not there, government can't do them. We have all the rights. What that set in motion was an explosion of liberty. Now, had we not made compromises at the founding, it wouldn't have been set in motion. Had we demanded an immediate end to all of the machinations that we now look back on with horror in 1787, we wouldn't have had a union. And if we wouldn't have had the union, we wouldn't have had abolition of slavery. We wouldn't have had suffragette, women's suffragette. We wouldn't have had the civil rights movement. All thanks to the founding fathers. And yet today, we're apologizing for that. Why? Why do we apologize for America First? Here's how Rush explained it not long ago.
What in the world is wrong with America First? It doesn't mean we slough everybody else off. It doesn't mean we disrespect anybody else. It means that everybody else benefits from a stronger America. The world does not benefit from a weakened America. The world does not benefit from America that gets watered down and diluted and is nothing special. The world doesn't benefit from that. That's what these guys all want. The globalists are demanding globalism. And what has to happen for globalism to succeed? The United States has to be cut down to size. You have to get rid of superpowers, essentially. Or you have to have more than one so that there is balance, so that there is some way to limit the bad, dangerous tendencies of the United States. So this is what the American people voted for, but I don't believe they knew it. That's the problem. Maybe they did. Look, I know that a certain number of Democrats did. Don't misunderstand. I know the Democrat Party is constituted, has a whole bunch of anti-American types in it, but they're not anywhere near the majority of this country. Twitter is not America. It's not even close. Facebook is not America. It's not even close. Why does the United States need to be punished? In our natural existence, because of capitalism and freedom and liberty in our Constitution, we are the strongest, the greatest, the most powerful, militarily and economically, nation ever to exist. Why in the world is that bad? Why in the world would you purposely want to evolve strategies, policies that would punish the United States for its greatness? What in the world do you hope to accomplish? Well, the answer to that is globalism. And globalism ultimately means a world without borders, for one thing, and it means a world without nation states. Do not doubt me on this. These people believe that nation states represent a huge problem to the concept of global governance. We really are a nation blessed by God. I firmly believe that. I believe that after having studied the elements of American history, the true story of the first Thanksgiving, so many absolutely unique, wonderful things had to happen. In fact, there's a book, Catherine Drinker Bowen, called Miracle in Philadelphia. It's about the writing of the Constitution, how it came together. It is a miracle. No other time in human history has anything like the United States ever been attempted. The United States Constitution never been attempted anywhere but here. And it works. And it worked. And it continues to work despite efforts to undermine it that are coming from within. And Thanksgiving is, you know what Thanksgiving is? I wonder how many people really know what the official holiday of Thanksgiving signifies. It has nothing to do with the Indians and eating and thanking them for saving us at Plymouth Rock and the Pilgrims. Well, it does, but that's not the reason for George Washington's first Thanksgiving proclamation. The creation of the actual Thanksgiving holiday from George Washington was largely about thanking God for the newly ratified Constitution. Everybody who participated in the Constitutional Convention realized how unique it was, how special it was, how privileged they were to be part of it. Lives, fortunes, sacred honor. People lost everything to create this nation. 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, many of them lost everything, including sons who were taken prisoner and tortured. Catherine Drinker Bowen, Miracle in Philadelphia. Their sons were taken prisoner and tortured. They were told their sons would be released if they would renounce the Declaration of Independence. They didn't renounce.
Yeah, it's really a great, wonderful rendition of the patriotic founding, and it almost was lost before it began. People forget that, you know, Franklin talked about we'll hang together or hang separately, and they pledged their fortunes, their sacred honors, their liberty, all the rest, and they almost lost it all. In that famous summer of 76, as soon as they announced the Declaration, Washington was basically driven. He ended up in Long Island. He was driven out of there. He then was driven out of New York City, crosses Jersey, into Pennsylvania. And there, had they not surprised the Hessians at Trenton on that famous Christmas, and then moved up north and won a big battle there, I think it was in Princeton, we were done. We were done. And it would have been an entirely different picture without any of the liberties we enjoy today. I'm Jason Lewis in on the Rush Limbaugh Program. Okay, this is going to be fun. We're going to do our road trip with Rush. Now, we've been doing this on Fridays, lightening things up a little bit every so often. And every Friday, we've been building a playlist with the audience from Rush's bumper music and the commentary that went with it. You know, Rush was a DJ before he was a talk show host. And all good DJs have their favorite bumpers, their favorite music, and you bring them to your talk show. I know I did that in my broadcast career, like Rush did. And here's a good one to take you into the weekend.
Midnight Runners, a one-hit wonder group from the UK back in the MTV days. Come on, Eileen, a title of tune. Fleeing the Immigration Cops. Come on, Eileen, the bumper rotation, EIB Network.
You know, that was a one-hit wonder, wasn't it? Back in the mid-80s, great tune. But the other favorite, I'm sure Rush touched on this, very, very similar, was Take On Me by A-ha. Great video with that one. Remember that back in the 80s? Yeah, I was a lot of fun before Running Water. It was the 80s, folks. Come on. Come on. Hey, I want to get to squeezing a call before we get to a few other items on the list today, and there are a ton of them. The media circling the wagons once again to protect their own and bring Jeffrey Toobin back to CNN. Guard the children. But right now, Travis City, Michigan, and Ruth, thanks for waiting.
Hi, Jason. Thanks
hey, Ruth,
for
how are you?
My call.
You bet.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. My comment or my question is, what's the liberals' master plan? They want to disarm citizens, defund the police, create mistrust for the police, create their woke military. So who's left to defend us? The military they control? Because I believe they have a master plan.
Well, the master plan is to control all the institutions, and they're well on their way to doing that. So, for instance, if they control the police, if they control the FBI, if they control the military, if they, and then all of those institutions get on board the woke train, then you become a second-class citizen if you don't conform or you're guilty by the color of your skin. It doesn't matter because they can do anything they want once they co-opt all the institutions, and that's why it's so necessary to fight back. You know, that internal memo from the Federal Reserve that Carlson was talking about said, we've discovered words that offend. Now, that should have been a trigger for every free-thinking American to say, wait, don't I have the right to offend people? There's no constitutional prohibition on saying something that offends you. If you take offense, guess what our response should be? Too damn bad. It's called the First Amendment. And if we don't start fighting back by saying, I don't care if I offend you, go pound sand, you woke little snowflake, then they're going to keep the steamroller going, and we'll wake up one day with a speech code, with conformity, and with the political opponents in prison. And that's where we're headed.
Yeah. My other comment is the pipeline, the Enbridge Line 5 in Michigan.
Yep.
One of the things that nobody's talking about here, well, they are here, is this isn't a new Green Deal subject for us in Michigan, because in 2010, Enbridge had the largest oil spill in the United States in an inland spill in Kalamazoo, Michigan. 1 million gallons of oil spilled into the Kalamazoo River.
Yep.
And Enbridge's Line 5 goes through some of the
Mackinac.
Largest sources of fresh
yep.
water.
Underneath the Mackinac Bridge, and they want to replace that, and the governor is saying no. Here's the problem I've got. And there's no question that you're going to have incidents. There's no way to rely on fossil fuels without accidents. The question is, what is the least damaging or the least likely? And if you are in Traverse City, Michigan, one of the country's most beautiful spots, I've been there. My old colleague, Jack Bergman from the House, he and I did some events there. It's a wonderful place, but it is extremely difficult to get to. Maybe flying to Grand Rapids and then drive up and all the rest. But is Traverse City willing to only take their gasoline by truck or by rail? And if they are, they're going to have more spills and more accidents. If you look at the billion ton miles of fossil fuel or oil shipped compared with the average hazmat incidents per year, pipeline by far is the safest, notwithstanding some accidents. Road delivery is the most hazardous, and then rail. So I don't dispute what you say, and that's what the governor is using, but you're going to have many, many more accidents if you rely on trucks or quite frankly, rail than pipelines. See, she's so stunned, she agrees with me. But that is the problem. With this, they live in this world that says, why can't we just get our energy without any risk whatsoever? And you can do that. It's called rolling blackouts in California. You'll have no energy, but you won't have any accidents. You know, you likely have your own words to describe our late friend, Rush Limbaugh. And I know it's always a treat for me to fill in. James Golden, Snerdly. A good friend of mine is the host of a new podcast series that's now available and tells the behind-the-scenes stories of this program, of EIB, and of Rush himself. They are great stories to listen to relive some of the great moments here. Sean Hannity is James's guest in this week's episode. You can download it and listen to it now. Here's Sean defining his word for Rush.
And actually, radio's a heart medium. You only get to touch people's hearts. And people are going to determine if they can spot a phony a mile away. But if you're being real and you're being yourself and you're being sincere, they know that you're genuine. Rush was genuine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Download and listen to this podcast series. 12 episodes in all, each of them emotional, revealing, worth your time. Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB mic, sponsored by MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation, available wherever you listen to podcasts. You know, the previous caller brings up a fair point. You're going to have accidents with fossil fuels, but you're also going to kill thousands and millions of birds with windmills, which we now know. You're certainly going to take up massive amounts of land with solar panels, which they're fighting now all over the country. Isn't it amazing that where the wind farms, whether it's off Cape Cod or wherever in the ocean, where the solar panel farms go in, it is the environmentalists who are leading the charge to block them because they are so land intensive, because they destroy birds. I mean, literally, bald eagles, brown eagles, you name it. Millions of birds fly into these massive blades. People come down with massive migraines when they live near a wind farm. They don't want them next to them. So there are costs to everything, but the value is the benefit. The benefit is you don't have blackouts when you have energy available at peak demands. The fundamental problem with all of the renewables is the inability to store energy, the inability to transmit and store it. And only the fossil fuels have been able to meet our peak load demands when necessary, even in hot summers like the ones we're having now. We got to get serious about this, otherwise gasoline's going to go up past $4. It'll be $5 before you know it. Continuing now with another excursion into broadcast excellence on the Rush Limbaugh program. I am the talk show host, formerly known as Congressman Jason Lewis. Glad to be your guide today, and it would not be complete if we did not talk about Jeffrey Toobin. Only at CNN. Seriously, only at CNN. So Toobin, you remember, he's the former New York staff writer, the liberal lawyer who was a never-Trumper. Well, he's never for Trump, so it wouldn't be a never-Trumper. He'd just be a hater. He was a hater and a baiter, and he got caught. I'm not going to use graphic language. He got caught fondling himself in a video call. Can you imagine what it was like at CNN? They had to be drawing straws as to who has to do the first Zoom meeting with him. Or maybe they were lining up to do the first Zoom meeting. I don't know what it would have been. I can imagine the primetime lineup was lining up. Can we have Jeff, please? Anyway, Rush had a unique take, as he always does, filled with humor on the whole Toobin affair. Here's how it went.
Man, I'll tell you, folks, I thought I had a hard day yesterday. I thought I had a real hard day yesterday. But it must have been a really hard day at the New Yorker. Or a really hard day at the New Yorker. I know this made headlines, but let's be honest here. Jeffrey Toobin has been tooting his own horn for a long time. Now, this guy, everybody's worried that Toobin is going to take the Biden story off the front page. No, Toobin is considered one of these guys. Toobin is a left-wing commentator on CNN. So yesterday, they're doing a simulation at the New Yorker, a Zoom simulation. And somehow, Jeffrey Toobin, in the middle of a hard day, is caught masturbating on camera on Zoom. He said, "I forgot. I didn't know." He turned the camera down, his laptop lid, turned it down, stood up, and there it was for everybody to see. So my question is, what are these liberals doing masturbating in front of each other on a Zoom call at the New Yorker? I mean, these people are nuts. They run around talking about how we, or whatever we are, what they say we are, meanwhile, these people are running around doing a voting seminar while masturbating on a Zoom call. I know, look, it could be an attempt to take the heat off Biden. Jeffrey Toobin figured if he lifted his own lid, making all kinds of news, Biden wouldn't have to lift his lid and answer a single question about Hunter. But they need to send a thank you note to Jeffrey Toobin. They really do. Toobin, a master debater from way back, took attention away from the Biden-Crame family for a news cycle. New Yorker writer, CNN analyst Jeffrey Toobin didn't just expose himself during a Zoom work meeting. He was allegedly caught masturbating in the call with some of the magazine's biggest names. He's now been suspended from the publication. I don't think CNN has a problem with this. They have not suspended. Have you heard? I don't think they have a problem at all. I think they're probably applauding it. I think CNN, oh, yeah, this is great stuff. He said, "I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera." The 60-year-old married Harvard Law School grad said in a stunning admission to Vice, which broke news of the incident on Monday. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know how Lewinsky has become a nickname for a certain sexual behavior, a verb or what have you. Do you think Toobin will become a similar, like when you say, what are you doing? I was doing a Toobin. Just now? Yeah, I was doing a Toobin. Do you think it'll ever become like, that's just it. I don't know if he's big enough. I don't know if he's big enough to pull that off. We'll just have to wait and see. In his mind, I'm sure that he is.
It's almost unbelievable. And Rush is right. CNN didn't have a problem. He's returning to the network. Now, no word on whether the New Yorker is going to rehire him. Nothing yet. So, but CNN apparently has no problem taking him back. What did he say? Quote, I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me. Oh, well, good. For a moment there, I was worried. So you've been off the camera. It's circle jerk time. I mean, what the hell? These guys have zero shame, but there are no sexual sins in the world of liberalism, only the sin of being pro-Trump. And Tubin will never be confused for that. He'd be confused for a few other things, but not that. Ah, the culture. You know, Rush loved using technology. He really did. To him, it made so many more things possible. The company that digitally transfers all of your family videos and movies and pictures is a perfect example of how this works. They use tech to make it possible for you to rediscover all those great moments on videotape or Super 8 film. I don't know if I want to use that with Jeffrey Toobin. But nevertheless, on your computer or your TV screen, wherever you've got these old formats, you have an answer, and here's how Rush explained it.
See, I want you to think how easy it is these days to use your phone as a video camera. I mean, second nature now. Don't even stop and think about it. If you're with family, friends, whatever great moment in the making, you simply whip out the phone, switch to video, and hit the shutter. Now, a decade ago, you were scrambling to find the video camera, the camcorder, whatever it was. You had to turn it on. You hope you had something to record it all on, had an empty tape cartridge in there. You had to make sure the batteries were working because you didn't carry that thing around with you like the phone. It was a special project. Those family members captured on videotape, they're still valuable. You just can't watch them anymore because you don't have the media. You don't have Betamax. You don't have VHS. You don't have Super 8 film. You don't, none of it. And you've got all that stuff from all of those years ago. But there is a way to bring it back to life on current technology. A company called Legacy Box fixes that problem. Legacy Box digitally transfers family movies onto computer discs, files, thumb drives, in the cloud, whatever, DVDs, however you want it. And they do it within a couple of weeks. So if you've got old family movies on Betamax, VHS, movie reels, bring them back to life with Legacy Box. It's amazing. You start online at legacybox.com. Ask them to send you one of their boxes. It's a Legacy Box. It's shielded and protected, so none of the stuff in it gets damaged in transit. You put your video cassettes in there, the old pictures, the movie reels. They use overnight shipping to keep track of just where that box is in transit. They get started when they get it. They let you know when they've received it. They stay in touch as they're doing the digitizing. In a couple of weeks' time, you have digital versions of all of that video you haven't seen in who knows how long. And the original quality is preserved. It's really fascinating, and it is fabulous at the same time. And you can duplicate it, give it away, edit it, whatever you want, as many people as you want to share it with. But start now at legacybox.com/rush. You'll save 50% that way this week. 50% this week at legacybox.com/rush. And that's the web address, and that'll cover you.
And boy, will it ever cover you. Think about that. All those videotapes, all that old film that decays over time, it would be a tragedy to lose those precious memories. And that's why more than 1 million families have relied on Legacy Box, and now you can too. Trust Legacy Box just the way Rush did with your most precious memories and let them digitally transfer all of those memories so you can see them again and protect them for eternity. I'm Jason Lewis. We will continue with the EIB High Note and a great tribute to our country and the national anthem coming right up on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. You know, now we've got this IRS debacle going again, and this is the danger of the institutional corruption we've been talking about today. When we're surrounded by these institutions in medicine, in media, in business, and the federal bureaucracy that's dead set against you based on your political views or worse, your skin color, then there's nowhere to go. And now we're seeing another IRS scandal with people's private returns being leaked. by, shall we say, overzealous civil servants. One of the things we were going to do, certainly if I would have won the Senate seat and the president back in office, civil service reform and defang the swamp. Naturally, that's not going to happen. And so these bureaucrats are, well, they're looking for you. But on a higher note, the EIB high note today really is a pleasure to talk about. Verda Tete, now she's a Harvard-bound Fitchburg High School grad. Get this. Receives the General Excellence Award. This is pretty amazing. The school's most prestigious honor. It comes with a $40,000 scholarship. But Verda, instead of accepting it, decided to give it to someone in more need of financial assistance so they would have the opportunity that she knew she was going to have. She cited her Christian faith and not a birthing person, her mother, who was raised in Ghana and brought her to the U.S. as a child, for inspiring her decision. Here's
what she said. I'm excited to see who it helps and, you know, how that changes their life. So I am so happy that, you know, God gave me the strength to do that. I feel that, you know, God has gotten me this far and he will take me the rest of the way.
God? Your mother? Did she get that Federal Reserve memo about words you can use and words you can't? By the way, her mother got her own bachelor's degree at age 47, always impressed upon the virtue of real education, real values, and all the rest. And she plans to study chemistry with a pre-med track. Maybe she can straighten out the medical community. That'd be a good thing. You can see a video of the story over at RushLimbaugh.com, where all of Rush's wisdom and knowledge and good-natured humor is on display each and every day, each and every page at Rush 24/7 at RushLimbaugh.com. You can choose a monthly subscription or lock in a full year. Download the app in the App Store or Google Play. Rush is always there for you at Rush 24/7. By the way, let's squeeze in Dave. He's in Nashville, Tennessee. Dave, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program.
Hey, Jason, thanks for taking my call. Truck driver in Houston, currently in Nashville. And my mom sent me a message yesterday I listened to, and it said, your dad posted on Facebook, which that's a huge, you know, hard stop story because he'll like a few things, but he will not post anything. So I knew I had to pull over in my next rest area and check it out. And it was National Anthem at a professional hockey game the other night. And the announcer announced that the crowd was gonna sing it. So the state police brought the flag out. The lady started, and then she held the mic out. And the whole crowd sang that song with pride. And it was just, it was moving. And, you know, for that minute, I had goosebumps from head to toe. For that minute, I forgot about the chaos that goes outside of that stadium, in that city, and everywhere. And, hey, just real quick, Jason, since my mom had sent me that, her birthday Sunday, I'm out here on the road. I want to wish her a very happy birthday. She's an incredible woman. I love her so much. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. So here we've got mom, God, your happy birthday wish to your mom, and the national anthem all on one show. Is this legal still?
Well, now I'm looking behind me. Where are they coming?
Yeah.
Where are the liberals?
Hey, I got news for you. How would you like to hear that? We're going to play that next segment for you. Exactly what you described, we're going to play it on, and so everybody can hear what you described so well.
Well, I'm on a 30-minute break, so I better just wait here.
Just wait here. We'll have it for you next segment on our way out. You know, it's funny you should mention that, though. As I said earlier, I had a wonderful conversation with the great Rod Carew at the Twins game. But anytime you go to a Major League Baseball game, NBA game, obviously the NFL now, you're getting lectured. You're not going there for entertainment. And it was really great because in between the lectures, I had a chance to talk with the last guy to flirt with 400. I think Carew hit 388 one season, but he hit for average, a lost art in baseball. He knew how to bunt, a lost art in baseball, Golden Glove, Hall of Famer. It's when, you know, pitchers went the complete game. The games were done in 2 hours and 30 minutes. You didn't have the DH. That was baseball instead of what we've got now, a new relief pitcher throwing 105 miles an hour every two innings. But I digress about fixing baseball, which I could do. And it was, what I'm saying is the break talking with Mr. Carew was a pleasure, because all you get when you go to a Twins game or the NFL or anything else is a lecture on how rotten you are. You know, you're about ready to take your ticket back and go, where do I get my money back for this? I don't need a lecture on this. And here we have the NHL taking pride in our national anthem. Banish the thought. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have that for you when we come back and wrap things up. I'm Jason Lewis. We are here today on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. All right, as promised, something special happened this week at a hockey game at Nassau Coliseum, Uniondale. Singer Nicole Raviv began the national anthem and then made the decision to lower her mic and encourage the crowd of over 13,000 to take over. Here's how it
went. What's so proudly we have.
Oh, man, was that great. What a scene at Nassau Coliseum. I'm Jason Lewis. We'll see you next time. Glad to be here. Thank you all on the Rush Limbaugh program.